As I look around the room, I'm seeing all these beautiful faces. To my people up top and my people down low. Yeah. There's only one thing I need to know right now. Are there any freaks in the house tonight?
Are you at your computer with the activation window open?
Hell yeah.
Okay, you can activate several different Microsoft products here. Are you calling to activate Windows XP?
Yeah.
Okay, now take a quick look at your activation window. I'll first ask you to read me the installation ID, and then I'll read you a confirmation code, which you will enter into the confirmation ID blocks using your mouse and keyboard. It's that simple.
Which one's the mouse?
You can see that the installation ID is broken up into several groups. We'll do one group at a time. Please tell me the first group of digits.
318.
Great. And the second group?
442.
Now the third group.
673.
Good. The fourth group?
463.
Pong pong.
And the fifth?
635.
All right. Now group six.
350.
I think you said 350. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, and the seventh group?
429.
Almost done. What's the eighth group?
521.
And the final group?
563.
All done. One moment, please, while I verify your installation ID.
And here's where it fails.
I'm sorry, I couldn't validate your installation ID. Please hold while I transfer you to a Microsoft representative.
Please
have the activation wizard up on your computer screen so you have your installation ID number handy. The representative will need this number in order to assist you in activating your product. This call may be monitored or recorded.
Same to you.
Thank you for calling Microsoft. My name is Lily. May I please ask you for 6 digits of your installation ID?
Sure. They are 31878.
Thank you, sir. I'll be happy to assist you getting a confirmation number this evening. This should only take one moment.
Okay.
Sir, is this the first time activating your Windows XP?
No.
Okay, sir. I'm going to read your installation ID back at you because there seems to be an error. All right?
Okay.
318-897-463-350-563. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Do you see where it says change product key?
Yes, I do.
Sir, could you please click on that for me?
Okay. Okay.
And then there's going to be a new screen that comes up and says new key.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Can you please click on that?
Okay. It's up.
Okay, can you please re-enter your product key in there, sir?
Put my
product key. Yes, please.
Let's see. Probably going to be on the underside of my box here. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Okay, sir.
All right, let me get that done for you. Close the stuff here. All right. Oh, look at that. Switches over for you. That's cool. THY 6 minor T. Okay, and hit update.
Update, please.
Okay.
Okay, so did it say that Windows is generating you a new installation ID?
Right.
Okay, so can I have that ID, please?
Sure. 172-441-141-394-554-020-446-752-019-923.
Thank you, sir. This should only take me one moment. Okay, sir, is this the first time activating your Windows XP Professional?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Is this the first time activating your Windows XP Professional?
No.
So may I ask why you're reactivating this evening?
Yeah, I had a couple problems with it. At first, there was, I think there was someone in my computer. I don't know how that happens, but something came up.
Okay.
And also, I was on the internet, and someone sent me an email, and then, like, my computer kept... it kept coming up saying it was going to...
It was a virus, sir?
Yeah, it seemed like it reboot every 30 seconds.
Right. That was that worm? That blaster worm?
Yeah, I think that was it. I've got a couple friends use, like, red something, and they don't ever get viruses and stuff.
That's probably what that was, sir. But, so do you have your Windows installed in any other computers apart from this one?
No, it's just this one.
Did the product come pre-installed, or did you purchase it separately?
No, I bought a Dell. It came with that.
Sir, and I have your 42-digit confirmation number.
Okay.
Can you please put your cursor on block F, step 4 of the activation wizard? I'm going to read it to you 3 digits at a time.
Okay.
6 digits to a block, and it will tab automatically.
Okay.
All right. 005-036-641-162.
Okay, block D is 641-162. 162, okay.
And your next one is 534-541-895-751. Sir, if you would click next and then finish, your activation is now complete, and thank you for calling Microsoft.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
No cats. Unlimited long distance.
And it will never end as far as you know?
No, it will never end. It will never
DJ Mollet.
The tone you will hear next will be the standard pitch.
You are listening to Radio Free America.
Are you giving your permission to change your long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance?
Yes.
You're giving your permission to change your local long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance, correct?
Yes.
I picked Quest Unlimited plan of $30 per month for the first 12 months with unlimited residential state-to-state, in-state, and if selected, local toll voice calls within the United States, correct?
Whoa, for the first 12 months?
That's what it tells me.
I'd like to activate an order of Windows XP Professional, and then I'd like to go ahead and upsize that with 2 orders of XP Home.
Okay, would you like a side order of SQL Server with that, sir?
No, thank you, though. How much is the .NET?
Do you want the regular or extra crispy .NET?
Extra crispy .NET.
Okay, well, that'll be... How many licenses are you going to have, sir?
That would be... I'd like a per server with 5, please.
Okay, per server with 5. Do you have a second mortgage on your house, sir?
No.
Okay, we might be able to consummate this deal. Sir, you will have to drive around to the second window, not the first window, but the second window, and leave a blood sample.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, I think I've got one handy from the last time I was here.
Okay, well, please drive forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alright, Radio Freak America, Duel is back. That's right, I am Duel, and I am back. Thank you, Zapper, for a great show. 82 was a lot of fun. We actually streamed it. It was an hour and a half late, but we streamed the show. So, all you around, hey man, sorry. Sorry about that. Okay, I am joined. It's unbelievable. What is going on? I'm very happy. Rax is back.
Hey ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Kermit the Rax is here with us, and Bland. Bland is back as well. Now, you didn't do the show with Zapper, I noticed.
No, he was recording from a place where he is not conducive to three-laying people on speaker.
Gotcha. But that was a good show. It was a great show. And it was great that he did it, because I couldn't do it. Fuck, last week was nuts. Oh, man, I'm trying not to swear again. I want to, I'm back on this non-swearing thing. I think it could be a good show. I think it could be,
You went on cigarettes and off swearing, is that it?
Here's what happened. We've been pretty freeform lately. We've been a lot freeform, you know. There's been a lot of rants. It's been good radio.
There's a very fine line between freeform and free brace. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, very true. There was some feedback. Very good feedback, mind you. And I saw the word professionalism. Not that I want to be, you know, I don't know, AM talk radio professional. That's a little too tight, I think. But I think we could do for a little professionalism. So I think cutting out the swearing is one thing. You know, something that who was it? Somebody said that I'd like to be able to play this for my parents. You know,
or another kid playing it in school without getting busted for it.
Yeah, exactly. And the earlier shows definitely you could. You know, because first of all, Rax, you're very classy. You and Bland are very classy. I bring the show down. I like the show down to my level, right?
Well, you bring that ghetto influence.
Exactly. I am straight up ghetto.
School is hard from the streets, man.
West Side, Holmes.
West Side.
Hey, Wigger.
Rax knows what I'm talking about. Okay, you heard a couple of pieces regarding Windows product activation. I'd like to give my impressions of it. This is the first time I've ever heard it. Never experienced anything like that in my life, and I hope never to. That was unbelievable. It was mind-numbing. Listening to that lady drone on with numbers, it was really weird, dude. It was weird. It was, you know, she's reading the serial number off your skull. Alright? That was messed up. And that was very humorous, Bland, by the way, throwing in the references.
Thank you.
To Red Hat, very humorous. I'm now disturbed. I'm really disturbed by that. And everybody who uses that, well, who uses legitimate copies, has to go through that. Everybody.
No, if you don't reactivate it, and you don't change X number of items in your setup, you don't have to go through that.
I know you can do it over the web, or you can do it automated over the phone, but you have to activate it always, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to call it in.
Well, still, but you have to activate it.
Well, there's ways around that, too.
Yes, I think you've discussed those before. But still, that's...
Look at labmice.net for that, and you'll find out some good information.
Ooh,
there.
Thank you very much. I've never activated anything like that, and I hope never to.
Yeah, I want to wanted to say props to Rax on that, because on an earlier ep, like in the 20s, I think, Rax gave a workaround for that, having to activate it. You can actually do it install, and it won't give you any hassle about it whatsoever. But I did it. You know, just, I guess, for the experience, because it makes really good radio.
It did. That made very good radio. That lady was hard to hear, by the way. I'm glad you told her to speak up. That helped a lot.
Yeah, she was drinking her protein shake or something.
She's drinking Bill's protein shake.
Hey, class, come on, class and substance.
Oh, yeah, yes, professionalism. No, seriously, I would. I do want the show... Yeah, it needs to move in a forward, you know, it needs to move in an upward direction, definitely. It needs to grow, it needs to change, and, you know, not swearing and professionalism would definitely be a change for Radio Freak America.
You know, like I was saying earlier, it's actually about a year ago that I went off the show, because I was actually trying to get a AM talk radio show launched about this, very similar types of topics.
Yeah, that was a professional show. That was a very good show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, radio.
I look forward to every Saturday afternoon. It streamed on the streamed Windows Media. Whatever. I still listen to it. It was fun. Hey, can I get some housekeeping done real quick? I've received... Oh, son of a bitch, I can't remember.
Hey.
Oh, what? I said son of a bitch. That's okay, isn't it?
It's a song by Nazareth, but that's not the way you meant it.
All right, I'm going to talk about this on another show. I'm not prepared. I did receive something from Kuroishi. Oddly enough, he's found some of these, too. They fall right off of payphones. those the badges, they fall right off, you know, and it's like I'm helping by picking up the litter, and he sent me one as well, one of the badges for from a payphone. Yeah, thank
you. You don't need no stinking badges.
That's right. Thank you very much, Kuroishi. Other news, bin revs have been all been mailed out on my end, the cash end. Again, send cash only. Make sure you got a. It'd be nice to put some initials or a real name to the address. All right. Can I say rat's ass? Is that okay?
How about a rodent's posterior?
All right. To everybody, take this the right way, please. I could give a rat's ass about your name and address, okay? I put it on the envelope, I mail it off, and I destroy anything with an address on it. Anything you sent me, the piece of paper inside, the envelope, all shredded. Shredded in the garbage. I don't care. I just want to get you your bin rev. I mean, I care about you as a member of the community and that you're buying the magazine. That's awesome. But do I give a rat's ass about your address and your name, phone number, whatever? No, I'm sorry, I don't. I got better things to do. So go ahead and put a name on there. Put your initials, something like that. If you don't, I put current subscriber on the last ones I just mailed, and we're going to see if that works because I've received some back already. You know, addressee unknown. And you know the post office. They're anal about some things, and some things are not. Do yourself a favor. Get your bin rev quick. Put a real name, real initials, something on there, and it'll work. Other than that, I think that's all the housekeeping.
Now, if Radio Shack happens to leave all your personal information on their computers, you know, when they go to lunch or whatever, that's a different story.
Very true. And then, you know, they don't collect that information anymore. So that is one positive thing about Radio Shack. Yeah, here, no, it's all destroyed. It's gone. You'll never see it again. Ah, here it is. All right, I found it.
Your list of everyone's names so you can spam them?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, everybody, let's start with number one. Alan Johnson. No, I'm just kidding. Agent 5. Thank you. Agent 5 is not Alan Johnson, by the way. I just made that name up. Agent 5. Somebody else sent me something. And it is Agent 5. That person would be the infamous Agent 5. What he sent me. This is so awesome. He sent me a Verizon wireless name tag. And the name on it, Dual Parallel. That's right. I now officially work at Verizon Wireless. That is rad. It's a real freaking tag. Dual Parallel. I will be wearing this to the next meeting, by the way. Actually, I'd like to touch on the meetings, if you don't mind, Rax, a little bit.
I'll let you know. Next Friday.
It is next Friday.
It's coming Friday, actually, I should say.
Yeah, the 3rd. And is that correct? Yep, the 3rd. And I cannot thank you enough. I've got some stickers going to you, Agent 5. Thank you very much. I will be wearing this to the next meeting because I am now an official Verizon Wireless dealer. It's so rad. It's so rad. And he said they couldn't do an underscore. They could only do a box in between the dual and the parallel. Well, that was quickly fixed with a Sharpie, and is now dual underscore parallel. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's shiny. It's wonderful. Thank you very much. I will wear it with pride. Thank you, everybody that sent me little extra things like that, or extra money for shipping. I really appreciate that. Did I say shit?
Yep. Shipping.
Oh, ha! Sorry. Whew, good thing. Okay, that's the housekeeping. Thank you, everybody.
Let's get back on the meetings here for a minute.
Yeah, please. We talked about them on the show and what happened at the mall, and so everybody knows about that. Now, I want you to talk about the DEF CON versus 2600 real quick, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we've been meeting in the food court at Arizona Hells Mall, and it sucked. Okay, it was terrible. It was the pits. It was noisy. It was everything else. So we've been looking at getting out of there for a while. We tried to get in touch with the other folks here in the Phoenix area that have been doing the 2600 meeting. I actually started IMing the guy back in January, and that looked pretty good. And then February, everything all fell to hell. So anyways, kept doing our thing. Meanwhile, a bunch of us went off to DEF CON, and they started talking about the thing doing DEF CON groups. So we talked about a little bit about that at the meeting. You know, do we want to start a DEF CON group? Do we want to do it as this? Do we want to do it as that? And whatever. Anyway, so we moved everything up to the new location, which is at Barnes & Noble at 24th Street in Camelback, the cafe there on the second floor. And you guys still there?
Yeah.
All right, we had we were tapped then because I just heard the nice little click.
yes, that's a constant occurrence here on Raider Freak America.
Anyway, okay. So we move that out, and that's where we're going to be doing the meetings from now on. Now, here's the deal. So DEF CON started doing a thing with that, DEF CON meetings. Yeah, you know what I say? Big effing deal. It's the same thing. It's the same people. It's doing the same stuff. You know, it's just all a matter of semantics at this point. What do you want to call it? You know, what do you want to be? Who do you want to be today? Where do you want to go today, kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, some people are pretty adamant, oh, we got to keep it 2,600. Some people say, you know, yeah, whatever. I'm kind of the whatever kind of deal. So I registered, we got the domain name going, and it's dc602.org. DC for DEF CON at 602 for the area code here in Phoenix. And got things started up there, and props to Zap for doing a lot of work and getting that thing going. So we're trying to, Zap and a few other folks have been contacting Emmanuel up at 2600 Magazine, seeing what's up there, if we can get things switched around or whatever. You know, and basically, I don't care. I'm gonna go and do my thing, and you know, if other people show up and wanna you know, talk and exchange information and learn from each other, and that's cool. If not, you know, if you wanna turn it into a piss and match about names and stuff, and that, well, I'm sorry, but you know, that's your problem. You're gonna have to deal with. So, anyway, as it is right now, we got it set up dc602.org. Emailed everyone on the list that I had, you know, all the information about what was going on and when's going on and all this other stuff. A lot of people are going to send the photo we took of a group shot of everyone there in the mall. Send it off to say, you know, hey, we got a lot of people showing up and all that kind of thing.
That's a group shot with our clothes on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was in the middle of a food court, so anyway, you know, so hopefully some of the other folks had a chance to do that. But anyway, regardless, we're going to be there 24th and Camelback, like at 5 o'clock ish. Some of us will show up at that time, and then, you know, everyone else can just kind of like fade in whenever they get a chance to get there. So anyway, it's the same you know, group of people that we always had. The only thing I'm concerned about, if there's anyone who's still going to be, you know, just looking around, bouncing around in the food court, they're going to be disappointed by not seeing anybody there. So hopefully, like I said, I had everyone's email that I had. I sent off the information to. I'll be sending a reminder about that. So
you know what?
Yeah, see them.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, that's great. And bravo, by the way, about knowing what's important, right, and stating that very fact. That is, you're going to share information, to learn from people, to have fun, to socialize, and that's what it's about, and that's what's important. Hopefully, somebody who's coming from the east side of town can swing by. Maybe camp out, maybe set up something that's, you know, a little sign that says, hey, go here, you know, until it gets in the next issue. Hopefully it will be in the next issue. Has somebody let them know?
Well, Zapper's been trying to get in touch with Emmanuel. Slip was going to do some of that as well.
Yeah, I remember you said that. I just mean officially, you know, with an email or...
Here's the thing. I don't know how they're going to react to it because this other group, the AZ2600, has been there, like, forever. And the guys that have been involved with that, you know, are apparently been doing that, and that was the quote-unquote official thing for the longest time. So I don't know how all that's going to pan out. So everyone was pretty, most of the folks were pretty adamant about giving it a shot. So hopefully, you know, the idea was that everyone that was at the meeting was going to send off this photo and, you know, and say in their own words, 500 words or less or whatever, you know, why we should get the thing changed around. So if we do, great. If not, you know, like I said, I'm just going to be hanging, doing the same kind of stuff that I always do.
Yeah, well...
Oh, speaking of which, actually, if I get my laptop back, I got it out for repairs because I got tired of that sound the fan made when I started it up. But I've been playing with Cygwin on Windows, and I've got OpenSSH and SFTP set up, so I was going to demonstrate how to do that. And hopefully I'll have VNC tunneling through SSH, so that's... what I'm planning on doing for a little presentation if I get my laptop back in time.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, the meetings are always good. I will be sending that group photo along with my description, and that the meetings will be moving to 2600 shortly because I've yet to do it. I want to recap what we're going to talk about on the show. There's housekeeping. It's out of the way. Want to talk about a movie and some urban exploration, right? And then maybe some other MPAA issues. And then I think Brax might drop out eventually. And then we're going to do a little freaking. And also I want to talk about my trip. My trip to the Big D. That's right. That's freaking right. Is that I can say where it was at, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. So that's going to be the show. Let us begin. on a dark night. Last night, in fact, I went to see Underworld. First of all, there was no MPAA propaganda at the beginning. I like that. During the slides, right before even the trailers begin, the slides they pop up, advertisements, stuff like that, one said, at this theater chain, there are no advertisements, no commercials before the movie. Trailers only. They actually had a slide specifically, you know, to tell the customers that. That made me very happy as well. Then, the third thing, Underworld came on. The movie. Awesome movie. Very good movie. Something I would happily, and I did, pay just about $10 to see a movie that good. I was happy to.
I saw the thing on, on Friday night, and the theater that I always go to, they did have their commercials. They did have the MPAA propaganda, you know, the guy who does paints the background and says, yeah, if people pirate, you know, this stuff, I won't have a job. It's like, hey, dude, yeah, you still will, you know, it's just that more people will see the thing. But that point aside, they did have, like, two or three advertisements before. It seems to be a little less than it had been. But the week prior to that, I went to see Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Same theater, same physical theater building. It was in the set of smaller screens, as a, you know, like a 24 multiplex or whatever. No commercials at all. They had a couple of trailers. They had the thing, you know, promoting their own theater chain. So it was kind of interesting. But I could swear that before there used to be like a half a dozen commercials. This time, last night, there was like two 30-second ones or something like that, and one 45-second or a minute one.
Half a dozen?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that. I swear to God, it seemed like that.
Now, they had the Fandango thing, and I don't really mind that as much. And they're actually, by the way, the one with the paper bag people, whatever the fuck that's called. Oh, gosh. You know, it's... Maybe I just don't know how not to swear. No, that can't be true, because I interact with people all day long, right, in a professional environment, and I don't swear.
Well, pretend your grandmother's listening to this.
They're both dead.
Okay, your aunt is listening to this.
Yeah, you know, the whole family thing.
Your girlfriend's mom is listening to
the whole notion of family. Anyways, I interact with people professionally all day long, and I don't swear. So why would I? Maybe this is like my release.
You know.
And don't use that stank, please. Okay, thank you. You know.
It's just a psychological thing. You think that you're adding more emphasis to it by being potty mouth.
It must be. It must be. And thanks for that potty mouth reference, Rex.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Anyway, so Underworld was great. I mean, it's...
Underworld, and pardon the pause, Underworld is awesome. It's a freaking rad movie. It's unbelievable. It's kind of got not that black and white feel. It's got that silvery feel, you know. It's really, the cinematography is just phenomenal. The special effects were great, you know, and it had a great, you know, anime ending, and you'll know what I mean when you see it. But what really stuck out from the beginning of the movie...
Is that chick in that black leather outfit?
That too. That is, you know, Trinity... She's personally, I think she's hotter than Trinity, okay? Raise your hand if you agree. Urban Exploration. That's right. It should have been called, you know, Underworld Urban Exploration. It was all about that, dude. All about that.
They had that other building. They owned that other building. They had all that shit in there. That's not UE.
Rax. Expand your mind, my friend. Would those not be the ideal places to do some UE, as long as it's not filled with a bunch of lichens, right? Or worse, vampires? That is.
Yeah, but they...
Of course they own it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but those are...
You wouldn't set up an interrogation facility in some place that you're just exploring. It was an old, run-down building. Yeah, okay. You know, water was leaking in. Yeah, okay. But they had that whole interrogation lab thing there. They owned that other place.
Dude, it was and I'm not talking about them doing urban exploration. I'm talking about us, right? I'm talking about the community and the spots where you'd like to go. Those spots were ideal. You know, the tunnels filled with debris and the giant chambers, you know, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the subways and the old buildings. It was rad. That was a UE movie, baby, right there.
No, it was UE is just another nice little euphemism for trespassing, just like social engineering.
Oh my God, you're being...
Social engineering's a euphemism for lying, okay?
You...
That's it, man.
You are being the antagonist. of the show, which is fun.
That's all it is, man. You just the same thing, different window dressing.
I disagree. And you know what? And I'll give you a couple of examples. How about that? Starting with the last Arizona 2600 meeting. After the meeting, myself, Fiend, and Bob went on a little adventure across the street, right across Calmec. There's a, you know, the Esplanade and a bunch of buildings. I think it's all actually called the Esplanade, that whole plaza of buildings. And I said, I want to get on the roof of one of those buildings and look at the city. What would be wrong with that? Trespassing, maybe.
What if you would have been getting off onto the roof of the building and you fell and you broke your leg and you decided to sue the building owners?
Okay. All right. And you're naturally you're giving their point of view why they don't want people doing stuff like that. Okay, I understand.
Hey, can I go urban exploring through your house?
No.
Can anyone go? Well, so what's the difference?
Nobody. The difference is
someone owns it. You own your house, and someone owns the building.
That's very true. I'm not breaking and entering. I go through open doors, places that are publicly accessible, but places that people usually don't go, care to look, or even notice. What is so wrong with that? What's wrong, Rax, with a little danger, with a little adventure? What's wrong with a little exploration?
Go bungee jumping, okay?
That's gay. Kay. I can say gay, right?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Do bungee jumping with just a rope then, okay? Don't...
Around my neck.
Yeah, well, hey, if you want to take it to that level, it's up to you. That's a little more macho, right? Just do it with a rope.
Let me finish the story.
All right.
So after the meeting, we went out. We went on a vent. And not to mention it's good physical exercise, my friend, and I'll get to that in a second. So we start across, and we started actually underground. Started heading through parking garages. That's fun in itself. Because there's a lot of places that people don't go. Cars can't go that people can. Stairs, right? Antechambers, right? Fun stuff. Very fun stuff, Rex. You should try it, my friend. You should try it. In fact, maybe you should go with us next time.
Please.
Yeah. So, went through parking garage. It's amazing how you can go underground and then find passages to go 10 floors up. And we did just that. I'll actually fast forward to the end. We went through many buildings, went into some elevators, and the elevators actually shut down at a certain time. Popped out one, it opened up on the floor, and there's a security guard right there. That was fun. You know, and it was around some, like, movie theater. So we said, oh, well, we're just looking for the movie theaters. Oh, it's not around here, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Okay, so we went around. We found at the very end, and, you know, these parking garages go underneath, you know, multiple buildings, and there's multiple levels, and there's parts that aren't accessible by car that you can get on, get to by foot. And came to a spot way in the corner that had a stairway that went from the very bottom level, the very bottom basement level of this parking garage, and it went 10 floors up.
Sounds like a stairway to heaven, huh?
15 stories of stairs. I said, let's go. There's got to be a way to get to the roof here, you know, and I think there would have been. Anyways, I'll get to the end in a second. So we started booking up the stairs, right? And I'm this old man. Not as old as Rex, but I'm old. Much older than the, you know, I probably got 10 years on Bob and Fiend. And I'm jamming up the stairs, dude. Whew, I'm booking. Two-stepping it, no problem. And they're huffing and puffing. I'm sorry, I just had to admit that. You know, they got these young kids, they couldn't keep up, baby. So we're jamming up the stairs. And finally we start getting to the top levels. And they start changing. You'll notice, you would notice that in the parking garage levels, the doors were, no locks on the doors, just concrete enclaves that you would walk into. And as you went up in the levels, they had started to have, doorknobs, windows, you know, drywall painted, rooms before you went into the building. And then finally, at the very top, they were locked. There were sensors. It was very cool just to see that. You know, that's another thing about urban exploration. You get to learn about physical security, one of my favorite subjects. You know, you look around, you start to notice where cameras are. Yes, you say, oh, there's a camera there. You start to notice where the sensors are, where the locks are, what the security guards are doing. Very interesting stuff. So we made it to the top, and like I just said, you get to the top floors, and the doors were locked on those stairwells. We didn't make it to the roof, but we had a great time. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I had another urban exploration adventure in Dallas. Yes, I went to see Bland. We're going to talk about that a lot at the end of the show. Great trip, by the way. Thank you, Bland.
Oh, man, anytime.
Now, we went downtown. You showed me where Kennedy was shot. And we just started walking around, having an adventure in downtown Dallas. Oh, crap, I don't have water. Oh, well.
Did you roll around on the grassy knoll?
No, I didn't. And I didn't go up and do, like, the sniper position in the building either. So we just started booking around, man, on foot, having a great time. And I said, you know what? You know, we were messing with phones, lots and lots of stuff. Taking video, got some video for everybody. And I said, let's do a little UE. And Bland said, okay. Started walking around. I found an open door. Actually, there was a building, 3-4 stories, that was getting a little renovation, a little construction. And there was like the loading dock, the shipping and receiving. And there was an open door I saw. And this being the weekend, there wasn't that many people around. Maybe there were some people working. I don't know. I went inside the open door. I think you went into the open door originally, did you not?
I went into the door and down the stairs.
Yes, and that was pretty cool. You know, if we were at street level, you go in the door and then you went downstairs and into a level that was obviously under construction, right? It was an existing building under construction. Just stuff everywhere. It was very cool, you know. It was like a movie set, really. And I saw an elevator. Bland saw the elevator.
And said, I'll meet you in the surface.
That's right. And said, have fun, dumbass. So, I went on.
Actually, you know, I'm going to play Rax's advocate here. I said, hey, Duel, out of curiosity, what's the difference between UE and B&E?
I'm no lawyer, but I'll bet that you'd have to actually break, you know, B&E, being breaking and entering, you'd actually have to, you know, forcibly enter a building. Here, there's an open door. An open door. I wasn't going to steal anything. I just wanted to look around. Just wanted to look around.
You want to talk about exploration? I'll show you the video that as I was going into the dungeon in one of the castles in Ireland.
Now that's very exploration. Cool. I've done things like that as well in Italy. How about... all right, here's... Okay, so how about this? How about... What if the building was abandoned? Would it be different then?
Someone still owns it.
You know, someone's going to own... damn, I freaking need water. Someone's going to own everything, right?
And so because, you know, like I said, are you inviting everyone to explore through your house?
Well, no. My house isn't abandoned either.
Doesn't matter. Some of those places weren't abandoned that you were in either.
Yeah. All right, I think we're going to differ. I need to read up maybe on the ethics of UE. Seriously, I need to get some more issues of infiltration. And
if you were sanctioned, if you were doing it for a military type of thing or whatever, you know, you were doing it for that. But you know, people do it for corporate espionage. People do it for, you know, terroristic reasons.
Oh my God, you got to be kidding me! I'm looking around a building. I'm not touching anything. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just checking stuff out.
No, but that's... put the other hat on and pretend you're a law enforcement official, right? And you find these kids exploring around in the thing. Said, well, we were just looking around. We weren't going to take anything. Well, if they don't have anything in their hands, how do you know that they weren't going to take anything in the first place? You don't. But, you know, it doesn't mean because it's an open door, doesn't mean you have a right to go in it. Does it?
Well, no, that's... I don't like that, really. I mean, that's... You're getting into the... what was that movie? Minority Report kind of thing going on there. About the, yeah, well, you didn't have anything, but... anyways. I don't think it's wrong. I'm not hurting anybody.
Fine. If you don't think it's wrong, let people go exploring through your house.
Yeah, and I don't... but I don't go through people's houses.
Well, all right. You don't happen to own a building, so...
That's, you know.
You own.
You know what? Everybody listen to the, not the last off the hook, but the week before. I think the 17th. Yeah, the 17th. Listen to Adrian Lamo. He does a little UE.
And as the police come there and you say, you know, that, and it's good. He, you know, got that little kitten or whatever out of the sewer. But if he would have, and the people he was with, you know, something would have happened. You know, who would they have been suing?
Suing?
Yeah. If they would have got hurt in that building they were at.
Now, and that's another thing. You always assume that if I got hurt, first of all, and I don't do stupid things when I UE, right?
Call them accidents.
Of course. But I'm fairly intelligent. I'm fairly adept. I'm physically active. I think I can handle myself. I'm not going to do anything silly. I'm not going to go into electrical closets and stand in a puddle of water. Okay. And why would I sue anybody if I hurt myself? I would just probably leave and get medical attention. And I know that's why they don't like people in there, because they're afraid of that. That's the whole, you know, you can't skateboard on private property, things like that. Yeah, I understand all that.
It's a whole thing. If there weren't so damn many lawyers, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, I just, I think...
Am I being too establishment here?
Yeah, big time. I mean, there's just, where's your sense of adventure?
Well, you know, it's called fair and balanced. I'm trying to get fair and balanced reporting, right?
I agree. But
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I know, and you're doing a very good job.
But so what I'm saying is that people are listening to that. If you're glamorizing this,
I'm not glamorizing anything. I'm just saying that
much fun. It was fun.
It is fun. It's exploring. You're looking at stuff. What if you went to a university, right? And you've got your classes, right? Do you just blindly, like a robot, go to your classes and leave? Right? Oh, I go to my class and then I leave. No, fuck. You walk around the buildings. You go check stuff out. You find a big freaking auditorium. Nobody's in it. Hey, look at this. Open door. Check this out. Wow, this is a big, neat place.
There's certain areas that you can go into. There's certain areas you can't. We have these general...
And if you find an open door, what's wrong with checking it out? What's wrong with opening it and going inside? Just like I did. That's the only thing I did. And it was damn fun. You know, and what's wrong with a little bit of danger? You know, I don't want to live in a bubble. I want to have some fun. That's what I liked about listening to Adrian. He said, yeah, he doesn't... he totally squashes any analogies of computers and cyberspace and people exploring there, right? The whole house and car thing, and, you know, yeah, F that. I totally agree. And then he said, you know, what's wrong with having a little bit of adventure and danger in your life? And it means going along and going inside open doors and checking out buildings, which, come on now, are sterile and safe. And I mean, it's unbelievable, how I don't know. That's a whole other issue. Honestly, yeah, I need to be prepared, right? I need to be prepared to discuss intelligently with the community the ethics of urban exploration, because it's something that I don't think there's anything wrong with.
Well,
and I'm not glamorizing it. I'm just saying it's fun. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not touching anything.
Leave the door to your house open and let someone explore.
Well, and that's I'm not.
If you owned another building, I would suggest that one as well.
Yeah, I just. Yeah, maybe that's a valid analogy. I don't know.
Anyway, so you guys play with the new Nopics?
I haven't had a chance to yet.
It is tight, man.
What's I know it has a new KDE. It's got the new X.
KDE, new X. You can do. You can encrypt your home directory.
That was out in 3.2, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was in 3.2, though, wasn't it?
Well, I know there was in the MIB Nopics, which was at French Distro, where you could encrypt everything, including the the swap drive.
Maybe that's what I was thinking about.
But it's just cool. Now, you know, I popped it in. There's a new script to install it on your hard drive, which again is like the best way to get Debian installed on your machine is just boot up Nopics and open a command prompt and do its Nopics-install or installer or something. Now, you know, 20 minutes later, everything's copied over. Now it'll ask you if you want to keep it quote-unquote Nopics mode, where, all the little tweaks and everything else he's done, that Klaus Knopper has done, you can keep it that way, or you can have it in regular Debian mode. If you keep it in pure Nopics mode, you can actually, like, remaster it in that. But what was interesting, I thought, was that, even though he comes out with, new revs all the time, did an apt-get and just had it update stuff and was surprised at the number of things that were, still already a couple of versions out of date.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty tough. It's definitely got to be tough updating that live CD distro like that. I think he might, well, I don't know. I don't know how much the patent issue is affecting him and his community.
Oh, big time! If you go to the site, the whole European Union, you know, their DCMA type of thing. His was the second site that I saw that actually had something on there about that. So when you go to Nopix.com now, you'll see in both German and English how software patents are going to, you know, close down the open source movement.
Yeah, so that might put a little damper in his development. Let's hope it doesn't squash all development, but we'll find out. I have not downloaded it. I have been using BitTorrent and getting Slackware 9.1. By the way, it's my first time using BitTorrent. I'm very pleased, very pleased, and I've been leaving it running, you know, like they suggest, and feeling pretty damn good about it. And I cannot wait. Hopefully I'll have a review of 9.1 shortly. What else have I been using? Damn. Oh, that's it. Bland and I, actually might as well touch on this while we're covering Linux. I wanted a, you know, I've got an old school laptop, right? P2, still using it. I don't know, 5-6 years old, running Red Hat 9. Believe, unbelievably beautiful box, runs great. I use Run Level 3 almost extensively. I wanted to listen to CDs. I needed a command line CD player. Bland had a couple. He gave me some suggestions. I Googled and I found one called Dave's CD Player, DCD. I grabbed it. It needed something called LibMusicBrainz, so I went to MusicBrainz with a Z, by the way, which is, that's gay. LibMusicBrainz.org.com. I don't know what it is. I didn't even read it. I just found the lib, right? Found the library, grabbed it, and left. So, you know, hey, if you know what MusicBrainz is or does, let me know. I'm assuming it's like open source CDDB, but whatever. I got that just to get it done. So I got that. I compiled and installed both of them. They worked fine. I went to run Dave's CD, and it didn't work. It couldn't find LibMusicBrainz. So what did I have to do?
Big file.
Yeah, I had to add I think like user local lib or something to etsy to ldso.conf and then run ldconfig and everything worked fine. So and then I think I had to actually edit the make file. Because it went from, I think by default the make file says dev cd-rom cd-rom 0 and I had to change that to cd-rom. So edit the make file, edit ldso.conf and everything worked great. So and then I was pleased. I was very pleased with Dave's CD player. It worked beautiful. DCD play, I think, and it just played your CD. I was very happy. I think it does do lookups. I think that's what LibMusicBrainz is about. I'm very pleased. Dave's CD player, big props. You got to do a little bit to get it working, more than you would a Windows app, but it's well worth the trip. What was the one you mentioned, Bland?
Mine was a command line MP3 player.
Oh, yeah, that was... Oh, I love that. What was that?
It's called MP3 Blaster, and it owns, man. It's pretty... I don't know what it is, but I love anything in a curses interface. I just think anything in curses looks so pretty.
Yeah, I dig in curses.
So, and that's what it is. It's a, you know, command line MP3 player. It's got functionality out the wazoo, man. It'll let you make playlists. It'll automatically... recognize MP3, the M3U playlist type. It'll let you write your own playlist. It's really functional, really small, really fast, and really good.
Now, does it play CDs?
No, it just plays MP3s, AUGs, pretty much all your basic audio types.
Yeah, I dug it. I do like the NCurses interface, and of course, use it with screen, and you can pop back and get your console anytime. I did enjoy that. I didn't install it because I can't get sound freaking working on my laptop for some reason.
Well, before you move on, when you were saying, oh, I just had to do this and do that, reminds me of, there's a great little Flash animation that someone did. If you go to ubergeek.tv/switch Linux, it's a little Flash animation there talking about, how simple it is to use Linux.
Oh, I can't wait. You know, my favorite is the, is it the Linux takes over the world, or what was that?
It's a little Flash animation. We were negotiating with the Pentagon and got the blue screen of death. That was the last straw. You know, you value your stability and operating system when you're taking over the world.
What's the one where the dude, there's a couple. There's one where he talks literally Linux on his toaster, right? That was funny. And then the one where he's like, I made, like, super clones, and I take over the world. It's hard being an evil genius or something. I love that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, that is? I love that. That's hilarious. I might save that one.
Ubergeek.tv/switch Linux.
Linux is beautiful. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Bland and I did some other Linux hacking while we were there. We set something up on, and we're not going to talk about it now. We're going to save it. Hopefully we'll have some developments in the future. We set something up on a box. Very cool, very fun. And needs to be looked at a little more. No, it needs to be looked at a lot more. And hopefully we'll have something for you in the near future, whether it be an article or a special app. We're going to be discussing it. Ooh, I think that'd make a good app, would it not, Bland?
Oh, very much so.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to... That's what's called a teaser. A teaser. We've had... what is that called? Fair and whatever reporting? What's that called?
Fair and balanced?
Fair and balanced, right. We've had... That's like a first for the show, fair and balanced reporting.
Now, teasers. I dated a couple of those in high school, and...
Did you now?
To pay for them, huh?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with paying. Okay, that's a little Linux news. And next is basically the trip. The trip. We're going to talk about the latest hack ever. I think it's safe to talk about it because the video is just, you know. let's discuss the latest hack ever right now. Would you mind?
Well, I really appreciate you calling it that.
Oh, it is though.
No, I tend to agree. I think it is probably the most elite hack I have ever seen, and I was the one that did it.
Yes, you were, and you were motivated.
Makes me really, really happy to talk about this.
Bland was motivated, not by money, not by women, but he was motivated.
By the most primal of social urges.
That's right. Eating, sleeping, effing, and this one. Yes, that's right. Bland had to go. Had to go bed. We were again in downtown Dallas.
I had to boom boom like nobody.
Can we say boom boom? That's not a bad word, right?
Yep, the sensors allow that.
There, you know what? There have been surprisingly few curse words blurted on this episode of RFA. It's not over, mind you, but I've been doing very well.
I haven't cussed once.
You haven't?
Oh, which is odd.
I don't think you usually do, though. Do you?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty healthy about it.
That's probably why I like you so much. You know, even with all that fair and balanced stuff, I didn't swear. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, so yeah, Bland had to go. He had to drop some ass.
And that's borderline, by the way.
Oh, okay. And we, you know, of course, what is this? A Saturday, right? A weekend? There's not, you know, the buildings are shut down and no one's around. We spotted a subway. And what did we say? We said score.
Subway is in the sandwich place, not Subway is in mass public transit.
That's right. And, you know, a restaurant, they have to have a bathroom, right?
Wrong.
What law or something?
What's that?
It's actually Texas state law that any public business has to have a public bathroom.
Hmm.
Because we eat a lot of barbecue down here, and, yeah, well, anyway.
I hate barbecue, by the way. So what happened when you went into Subway and saw nothing?
Well, I did a little UE. Oh, my God.
Whoa. Back the truck up here.
Was it a little UE or a little BM, right?
Well, a little UE to satisfy my need to go BM.
So what happened? Tell us what happened.
Well, this restaurant is basically in the lobby of a building. Like a skyscraper, pretty much. And so, you know, I run in there, and Duel walks in casually, hand in pocket, and I'm like, doing the quick scan. You know, I don't know if you've ever had to do this before, but you're doing the quick scan, looking for like other inward doors that has a little clean picture of the man and the woman on it, and it was nowhere to be found. And this was something. I have to preface this by saying that this was not something that could wait. This was not something that we could, you know, go to the car, get in the car, drive around, go find a place, and then, you know, do all that. This was something that was going to happen. This was not voluntary.
He was giving birth.
I had full turtle head poker.
Holographic there.
Yeah, sorry.
I won't cut that. We'll edit that. So anyway, I'm in the subway. and I see a door marked exit. And I'm like, oh, ho, ho. So I run, you know, kick through this exit door, and there it sits. A bathroom. A men's Yes, a men's room and a women's room. So I run up to it. I grab that doorknob triumphantly. Locked.
Simplex lock, baby, on the bathroom.
I'm like, oh, man. If we weren't trying to cuss tonight, I would comment on the things that were running through my head. I was looking around for plants. I was looking around for anything.
Plants.
Anything, you know, a big potted plant. Anything that could offer me some sort of relief. And then my upper order brain said, no, you are Hacksaw. Make this work. So I had my left hand on the handle of the door and the right hand frantically, 135, 123, 214, 315. You know what I mean? Just, you know, poking and jiggling the handle.
Awesome.
And then, you know, poking through and, you know, 342, 241, 413, 412, and the door opens.
Yeah. And he kicks it in.
I kick the door in. I run in there. I drop trowel and lay a Cleveland steamer.
In Cleveland.
I love, dude, shouts to Cleveland. I love Cleveland, by the way.
Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, it does. It does. It really does. So, that was the leadest hack ever. Ever! That was amazing.
All thanks to Urban Exploration.
Yes. Yes! Thank you very much. Without you, E, he'd have some dirty shorts. That's right. That is right. So, UE was useful in this sense. And I actually, while he was doing that, I actually went through the building and just walked around. Security guard saw us, I think, right? Wasn't he, like, right there when we went in? He was right at the lobby desk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I walked right in, walked around. The elevators were disabled. They did not function. So I just walked around the first floor a little bit and went back, went outside. Well, Blaine did his thing. Yeah, that was. And we've got video, by the way. Not video of the actual act, thank God, but video afterwards of the latest hack ever. Straight up. That was a good time. That was a lot of fun down there. Oh, and we got sidetracked with all this fair and balanced stuff. I wanted to actually give some advice on UE because I ran into some stuff that you may. Going down into this huge, huge ramp. You know, it just went on forever underground. And we went to the end of that, and it wasn't even like a parking garage. Maybe it was the beginning of one. I'm not really sure. There was a lot of stuff going on down in this, you know, this cavern. This cavern of a room that was at the bottom of this ramp. And I started poking around. I found some doors. I found some two big swinging doors, and I was wondering what that was about. As I went down this long, you know, sterile-looking hospital-like hallway, it wasn't a hospital, by the way. I saw what looked like, you know, those like canvas baskets on wheels that you picture in post offices. Yeah, well, I think that's what it was, because I saw a door shortly thereafter that said "Postal Employees Only," whatever, blah blah blah, and I said, "Aha, time to go." That's right. You don't want to be going around somewhere that's federal, which would be a post office. So I got out of there quick.
Actually, didn't Nixon privatize the post office like in 71? That's why it's USPS.com, not .gov.
I'll wager. I'm no lawyer, but I'll play one on this radio show that doing stuff around to or about a post office is still federal.
It's still a federal offense to do anything bad to the post office.
Yeah, I bet it is. So I got out of there most tick. So stay away from that. Also, and I think I mentioned this already, but stay away from anything that says electrical. If it says electrical on the door, go away. Don't touch it. Don't even look at it even. Just go.
Or if you see a biohazard sign, that's probably a good idea to turn around and go
there. Yeah, yeah. If you see guys in, like, white suits carrying, like, syringes around and stuff, and then, like, mutants run by, yeah, no, you want to get out of there. So, all right, enough of the UE. That trip was awesome. It was so much fun. Dallas is a freaking cool place. Dallas is a lot of fun. It's nice. It was clean. The people were great. I had a great time, Len. I thank you very much.
And did anyone at any point say howdy y'all or y'all come back now?
I think that, and don't get me wrong here, we had to go inside a Walmart, and the girl said something about y'all. I remember it was like, you know, mumble, y'all. And it made me smile. I think I smiled at her. So, yeah, I did hear y'all. Did they say, did y'all, you know, y'all come back now you hear? No.
That was Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Well, okay. Everyone is like, every time I see something on television about Dallas, and this pisses me off. Anytime I see something on television where someone's in Dallas doing something, they're like, howdy y'all, we're in Dallas.
Yeah. That is so lame. Dallas is a metropolitan, hip, sophisticated place. Very cool. I would go there to hang. You know, and see, I like urban stuff. You know, this whole, you know, I know like Slip likes camping. You know, and that's very cool. I'm all about the urban scene. I don't know how to say it. I want big city. I want my big TV in my hotel room, you know. The whole hunting, fishing, camping, outdoorsy kind of stuff, nah, not me. So if you like the urban thing, Dallas is the way to go, man. I'm telling you, it's very cool, very cool.
This message brought to you by the Dallas Tourism and Convention Bureau.
Yeah, might as well be. I really liked it. The next stuff, I think, is getting into the freak news. We've got more of my trip with Bland, and that's going to be freak. You want to hang around for that?
You guys, no, I got a jet, and I got some stuff to do here.
All right, man. Well, enjoy it. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you very much, Rax.
Hey, it was cool.
That was very good. Yeah, we don't get the viewpoint of, how do I say it? You know, the middle-aged white male Republican, you know, often. So I appreciate it.
Dude, you were going to pay for that.
Many oh, score, dude.
Wrong on so many levels.
Oh, dude, score. That's one for Duel. All right, man. Hey, I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Later. Okay.
You know what?
Yo.
Dude. I have formed an opinion.
Okay.
And the listeners are really not going to like my opinion.
Which is?
Denny Bruce, a man who I respect above most others.
Uh-huh.
Great man.
Who is this?
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce?
Lenny Bruce.
Uh-huh.
He's a comedian, old school comedian.
Uh-huh.
He was just a really powerful and influential person. I really like him a lot. He said, if you take away my right to say fuck, you take away my right to say fuck the government.
Whoa. That's cool.
And so, yeah, that's how I feel.
You know, I have to agree with you. Because I enjoy saying the F word. I would never say F the government, though, because I love our government, and I love our president, just like I love you, W. That was perfect, Bland. That's right. The first place Bland took me, I got off the plane in Dallas, love. Saw Bland roll up in his sweet sled, hopped in, you know, he was doing the freaking devil horns. That's how I knew it was him.
I yelled segue.
Yeah, you did. You yelled segue. Of course, I yelled it back. And we did our secret devil horn sign, right, that nobody else knows. And then we started rolling. And the first place he took me was a convenience store. That's right. Bland knows how to show somebody a good time. He took me to a convenience store. No, I'm serious. This was a good time, by the way, because they have the George, quote, W. Bush bumper stickers. We love George Bush. Actually, it's got a little heart with we. It's we heart George W. We love ya, W. Bringing back the pride. That's right. And I've got it in my hand. What a great bumper sticker. I got to get a picture of this on the site. And but before I forget, massive, massive props and massive respect to Rax.
Very much so.
Yeah, he's been a very good influence on me, believe it or not. So, yeah, let's get back to the trip. The trip. And actually, this goes right into the freak news. First, I believe I had a rad email from Decoder, and I didn't get to it for a couple of weeks. And then I think Zapper covered it in the last show. So very good email. If not, I'll make sure that gets out. Thank you, Decoder. And then we will move on to... Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I don't have my tone dial or my red... never mind. I don't have the tones that I usually play. Ah! Aha! How could I forget? Bland... Not only did Bland have the most elite hack ever that weekend, it was another first.
Oh, yes. Baby's first test set.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, you brought it to me, man.
I did. Congratulations, you're a father.
Yes, it's a boy.
It's a beautiful red test set. Who made it? Is it a Walker? Is that correct?
Yes.
Walker test set. Bed of nails.
Vampire Fang.
Oh, gorgeous, gorgeous box. And it feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's got some weight to it, man. It's got some meat. Not like these crappy phones that you buy.
Yeah, no, this is some real stuff here. You know, it's got the high impedance, you know, so you can clip on silently. It's got, you know, polarity. It's got all this. I don't know if it's DSL safe, though. I can't remember. Anyways, it's a beautiful, beautiful test set. And I hope you get many years of enjoyment out of it, my friend.
Oh, I will.
Good. Very good. In fact, video would be nice. Well, maybe not. Scratch the video part. So, yeah, that's the first piece of freak news. Bland's got his own real test set. Actually, it's kind of a nice test set because it's a little smaller than, like, your standard Harris set. And I kind of dig that, you know?
And all the functionality is really, really well placed.
It is.
It doesn't take you very long at all to, like, just feel that with your thumb and, you know, switch the things over and do all the cool test set stuff with it.
That's right. Plus, unlike Harris test sets, you can put the clip on either end of that one.
Yeah, the polarity sorts itself out.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the belt clip, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can either side. Yeah, very nice, very nice. I'm glad you enjoy that. That's the least I could do for such a great time you showed me.
Thank you.
And don't use that one either, Stank. Okay, next. With the free... Oh, my... Oh, no. Oh, it's here. Good. Hold on. Okay. We went to a Radio Shack. This is believe me, it's still freak related.
This, by the way, is what I referenced earlier, and I think you thought I was talking about them asking for your personal info.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even catch that. Yeah, I thought you were talking about what they used to do. Yeah, well, okay, here we go. Thank you very much. That was shit, I can't find it. Oh, I swore. Holy moly, where is it? I added a lot in the freak notebook. Yeah, that was a very good, what do you call that?
That
was a very good segue. You were alluding to what was coming. There it is, found it. Okay, yeah. Radio Shack leaving your personal info laying all over the place. Now, see, that, I don't know if that was then, though. Because I don't know if anybody can go in and then get some type of, you know, if there's a bookmark or you know, an icon that you click and it automatically brings up the Sprint PCS page that you can handle your account there, you know, self-help, right? And I don't know if it's, you know, customer controlled or not. Regardless, we went into a Radio Shack, and of course they have demo computers usually. This was no different than any other, and my curiosity made me walk up and check it out, and I was looking. And I was like, son of a gun, this looks like a Sprint PCS form, and look at the URL, HTTPS, yeah it is, it looks like somebody's doing some kind of transaction, and son of a gun, there was a gentleman's name, address, phone number, account balance, his last payment, when it was received, did I already say his address, his account number, his home number, his cell number, everything right there. Everything sitting right on the screen on this computer in Radio Shack. And again, I don't know if they did it. You're probably right, Bland. I'm sure it probably was a Radio Shack employee. That's probably a quick and easy way, right? A cheap way that they can activate phones, update user accounts. You know, I'm sure it's way cheaper. I guarantee you it's cheaper than calling up, you know, a Sprint PCS call center and having an op do it. So Yeah, all of his stuff right there. Dude, his junk was just laying out on the table. So, you know, is it bad? No, here we go. Here's, you know, all this ethics has got me itching to write. Now, anyways. Yeah, all his junk out in the open. I'm not, well, what do I do here? What's ethical? Would it have been ethical, Bland, for me to write all of that stuff down, even though I would never do anything with it, right? I just wanted to know, you know, hey, here's proof that this info is out in the open. Would that be bad?
No, because I think that information can be used to a very, very productive end.
How so?
Well, this man is obviously a Sprint customer.
Right.
Well, with the media and with everyone else having such a hard-on for identity theft, I think it would be a good idea to very anonymously let this guy know exactly what was just out there in the open for God knows how long. I mean, it's not like we saw anybody walk away from the computer. We were in there like 5 minutes before you saw it.
Right. And there's lots of people in there.
Yeah, and not only that, it's not like the computer was behind the counter.
No, this was a publicly accessible computer. This was for the public.
So, you know, if you get some customers angry about that, let them know, you know, hey, Bill, here's all your stuff, man. And it was just like you walk in the door and everyone looks at the computer monitor. Well, I do anyway.
Yeah.
You look at that, he's like, hey, it's all this dude's, you know, his life story sitting out here in front of you.
Yeah, and if it was, in fact, Radio Shack employee that left that out, that's what a huge, huge privacy violation. I mean, this guy was violated, literally.
They get the lack of security award.
Yeah, you know, thank you very much, Bland. Thank you. Bland gives the Big D lack of security award to that Radio Shack for that poor man's info was everywhere but where it should be. Yeah, and I also did him a favor. I naturally closed the browser. I didn't clear the cache or anything, but that doesn't matter in this case. So I did close the browser so nobody else could look at that info. Wow, this show has made me think, you know? As well it should, and I hope it makes everybody else think. You know, what we're doing, just by our nature, we see things others don't. We notice things others don't. We go places and find things others don't. So what's right? What's wrong? And you know what? I'm very glad. I'm very happy that Brax brought that up. Because I wasn't prepared. I wasn't. And it's gonna, you know what? It's gonna make me research more. It's gonna make me think more. Right? Ponder more about what I do. As well I should. You know, because everyone should consider what they're doing and their actions and the consequences of it.
And there is a freaking brilliant article on its way to the community.
Oh.
By someone who I love and respect very much.
Well, yes, and I can't wait for to read that article.
Yes. I think you've read it.
Yeah, I think I have, and it's if it's the same one where you're talking about, yeah, it's I can't wait to read it.
It's all about basically without preaching and without calling itself this. It is really a study of the personal ethics of doing the white hat thing when you find an open WAP. I mean, it's you know, it delves into, you know, what you maybe shouldn't do, maybe what you'd like to do, and really doing the right thing. You can still, you know, have fun, you can still explore, and do the right thing.
I totally agree. Yeah, Rex, Rex definitely made me think about that, and I hope I'm not glamorizing anything. I'm just calling it. It's straight up info. It's straight up how I feel. It's fun. I guarantee you, there's people out there thinking, man, that's stupid. Why the hell would I want to walk around some boring building? And that's cool. That's fine. To me, it's fun. I like seeing new things. I like going places that you wouldn't normally go. Plus, it's kind of fun. It's, you know, it's a little surreal. You know, you get to run around this building that, I say run around like a wild man doing crazy things. No, just, you know, you're checking things out. You're walking around. you know, and nobody's there, you know. Normally where it would be otherwise teeming and lit up, right? It's, you know, a little dark, subdued, you know. There aren't people there, you know. It's like you're kind of in a different world or a different time. It's straight up fun to me.
But what I can't do about urban exploration, this is from my years of being, this is how video game violence truly affects the children of America. I walk into a, you know, the bottom of a building that's all like, you know, poorly lit, and there's stuff spray painted on the walls, and man, no kidding, that turns into a Quake map for me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you walk in there and it's just like, man, where's my gun?
Yeah.
Evil demons are going to jump out here in about 2 seconds.
Hell yeah, dude. That's straight up. Straight up, man. It's a freaking dungeon. It's a, you know, it's an urban wasteland after the apocalypse. That's what it's like, man. It's an adventure. I like that. Very good. Very good, Bland. That's a great analogy.
Oh, thank you.
To continue with the freak news, this is like a UE episode, you know? This is really good. I think this has been a long time coming. We talked a little bit about UE. I did a little live UE when I went through some public places, right? Some storm drains. Again, somebody owns that, the city, right? Or the state, whatever. That was like F5, was it? That was a long time ago. And we talked briefly about what to bring, what to wear, what to do, you know, things like that. Go check that app out. You know, I don't want to go over all that again. But I think a UE app is a long time coming. In fact, maybe we can hit this again. Maybe I'll even get some live UE going.
But it's really it's almost a, how can I say it? Back in my early days of hacking, I think I've talked about this before, all the sites were marked, you know, HP, AV, C, for like hack, freak, virus, cracking, you know, all that.
Right.
And the survivalist, it's weird how like survivalism and things like that are really, really prevalent in the hacking community. And you would, I mean, I don't automatically associate things like that, things like, you know, like how to survive and all that sort of stuff. I don't really see that as a hacker or as being like in the hacker community, but it's remarkable to see how it really truly is.
Oh, it is. And you know what, I think a lot of hackers will deny it, you know, because they don't want to be associated with some, you know, militants in the Dakotas, you know, with their, you know, bottled water and canned food. But, you know, you'll notice, and it's true, and I'm guilty of it, hackers have a lot of gear that the normal person won't carry around that's hyper useful, right? It's, you know, to an extent, it's there, you're right.
And urban exploration is like the next generation. It's like, it's the next generation of all that, of all the survivalist hack sites and all of that. It's really, I don't know what it is that it really is. I guess it's because the media and the government and everyone is trying to, you know, make us extinct. They're trying to, you know, downplay and criticize and label us terrorists and kill the hacker community. And I guess it's our instinct of self-preservation that really wants to, you know, make the community stronger and make it stronger than any labels that anyone could put on us or any negativity that the government or whoever, the media, would spin. And it's our what we as hackers feel is our God-given right to explore and to really make ourselves more useful than the public school system has made us. You know, to really achieve Siva Vaianathan in his H2K2 keynote speech talked about that a little bit, talked about the cynics and how the greatest achievement that any person, any human could attain is to master something, to be good at something, to really self-improve in the areas that will really have a lasting impact. That's your legacy, is what you do and what, you know, how you apply yourself. And everyone's trying to take that away from us. And I guess it was in that spirit that people, you know, here's how you filter water. You know, here's how you can find your way out of a forest if you are ever lost. You know, things like that. It's all really strongly analogous to what's happening to us, what's been happening to us long before, you know, long before the Patriot Act, long before September 11th. And I don't know, I see it really built in there. It's all those people, all the UE people and everything like that, all the survivalist people, it's really a metaphor for the tribulation that the community has been through. And that's, I mean, I think that's what urban exploration is. It's taking all of that, all of the survivalism, to the next level.
Yeah, that's, oh wow. Man, I need to let you just go off like that more often. That was awesome.
I don't have very many in me, so.
I disagree. That was really fun to listen to. Yeah, who says that what urban explorers are doing is any less valid of an achievement, you know?
It's not at all.
Yeah, it's, if anything, it's, you know, it's adaptation and adventure in a new age. All right, we got to get back to the freak news, man. That was fun, Bland. Thank you. Damn. You know, I was hoping you would have done a show by yourself. That would have been rad. Do you think you could do it? I know you could. Hey, there we go.
Oh, we're being, I said government way too many times.
Yeah, that's what happened there. That's, you know, we had two different tones today. That's the usual one, which I think is the caller ID.
Damn, did that happen again?
Yeah.
I feel like Vox is out on my end. I don't get to actually hear the tones.
Oh, check out the show. That one will be very cool. I think that's just caller ID stuff coming through. But we got another one this show. I think it was like a click and a... What was it? It was during Rax, while Rax was on. So we've got two cool tones. I love it. You know, I've got... Blind and I were actually talking today. I've got this old 900 megahertz Sony phone. Real piece of crap. With a digital answering machine, which is crappy as well. And I don't want to give it up. Because it does so many cool things. Naturally, I sometimes I'll be on the channel that somebody else on in the neighborhood, you know? That somebody else in the neighborhood is on. That's fun. Sometimes, quite often, I'll walk around the house and get some nasty ass, you know, eardrum blasting screeches out of it. It's very cool. I want to keep it just for that reason, because it's different. That is a phone among phones. Yeah, it's a piece of crap, but that's probably why it's so alluring. I'll probably keep it. That's into the freak vein right there. I was saying I got a lot of... I filled up so much stuff in the freak notebook from that trip. That was a very good trip. You know what? That's how you should judge your trips. Get your freak notebook. Bland's got his. See how many pages fill up. That, my friend, is a good way to gauge a trip. Yeah, that was a four-pager. Yeah, well, I only got one. It was a day trip, though. So that was a pretty good day trip if I got one page. Yeah, that is a good way to judge a trip. I got, let me see. I filled in a little beforehand, like a page to prepare, right? Some numbers I wanted to bring with. So I'd say that counts. And there's one, and then live trip. I got one, two, three, four pages, I'd say, from that trip. Pre-enduring. That's a good trip right there.
And you left your legacy on the payphone outside the Piggly Wiggly down the street from my house.
I don't know what happened. I must have slipped. With a sticker on my hand. Yes. Old school freak lives on a payphone. No, we would never do that. That would be... Is that a vandalism?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I didn't think so. Because, you know what? Anyways, those little placards fall off those payphones all the time.
Yeah, and you know, dude... If I had a dollar for every, like, Christian inspirational message I've seen on top of a payphone, do you get those down there?
Oh, dude, tons.
Yeah.
Down here, it's like, lose weight now and make money. Yeah.
Well, it is, like, don't let, what's the catch? Something about, don't go to church for the first time in a hearse or something like that.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. We've actually discussed getting things like that on your door, which pisses me off, on previous episodes, because it actually happened. And the worst, see, it's not as bad when they just, like, stick them in your doorknob or whatever, because they can't put it in your mailbox. That's, I believe, against the law. So they'll stick the junk mail, and they'll just, like, stick it in your doorknob, or they have the little door hanger things, and they stick it on there. That's okay. It kind of pisses me off, whatever. But one time, actually a couple times I think this happened, they actually stuck it. They used a little sticker or like tape and taped it. That pissed me off. So, being the nice guy that I am, I took an old school freak.com sticker, went down to that establishment, and stuck it right back on their front door. Fuckers.
Man.
Yeah, fuck, stick something on my door. You know what? I can see it now. Well, you're going through other people's buildings, and they can go through. No. I don't think that's the same. I have to give some serious thought to that. But me, you know, walking through some, you know, parking garage, or the stairs attached to a parking garage, or you know, a building that's open, for crying out loud, that during business hours and there are people inside, you could walk through and go around anywhere you want. You know, if anything, the examples what I did was just going around places after hours, essentially. I mean, really. I think the one place was I don't want to say what it is. Fuck, I don't care. Whoa, that's my new phone.
I hate the fucking Nokia sound. Death to that.
It's Rax, too. Bastard, he knows. That's my new phone. We'll be getting a review of that next show.
And for the love of God.
I just got it today. I just got it hours ago. I haven't even played with it yet. So we'll get a review of my new phone later. So yeah, if anything, this is a totally, utterly publicly available building. All I was doing, really, was going after hours. Not during normal business hours.
Well, you know, there were people in the first one that I pushed out on.
Yeah, there were. Actually, when we were driving away from the downtown area, I saw people coming out of the building.
Yeah, a guy went in. I actually got a little scared for you, because there was a guy, like, in the tool belt.
Uh-huh.
He, like, went in the same door that you came out of. Like,
really?
20 seconds later.
Whoa. Awesome. And you know what? I'm not even scared. I mean, I'm not scared. If somebody, you know, I would say, I, you know, honestly, I don't know what I'd do at the time. I could think of a few things right now. Oh, I'm lost. Oh, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for this person. Is he here? I mean, it's so easy to talk your way out of anything. Wasn't that nice? He left a message. Oh, I know what it's going to be. Oh, man. He did that on purpose, by the way. He's spamming the show. Yeah, you know, there's probably the worst thing, security guard, talk about that. A police officer, there's somewhere you're definitely not supposed to be, like a postal building, something federal, state, local, whatever, and you get caught by a law enforcement officer, then it might be a little tougher to talk about that. You'd be stopped, you'd be given ID, whatever. But yeah, most of the time, you know what? If you do get caught, that's not even a good term. If you run into somebody, you know, you just say, yeah, you know, talk your way out of it and leave. You know? And nobody's hurt. Nothing's wrong. Nothing happened. Nobody lost any money, for crying out loud. That's what it's all freaking about anyways. All right. We just keep going back to the UE. It's a good topic. I think it's a topic long overdue on RFA. So there you go. Maybe we'll do one in the future. I'll need to... You know what? I think Logan 5 is pretty avid with the UE when he has time. Maybe we should get him on and talk about some of his adventures. I think he's had some good ones, some real good ones.
I'd like to hear that. I've never talked to him on the phone or anything, but he seems like a pretty ballsy, cool guy.
Yeah, very much so. That's, you know what? That's perfect. That is a perfect description of Logan 5. And, yeah, so Logan, if you listen to this, prepare. Let's get him on the show. That'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Fuck, freak news, again. Gee whiz. Decoders, let's see, Bland's first test set, decoders email, Sprint PCS at Rack Shack. I got one last thing. In my last quest bill, important information for New Mexico residential customers. National Do Not Call Registry. That's right. Apparently... and if you know the BINREV address, you know I'm in New Mexico, not Arizona, whatever. Same thing, pretty much. No, it's not, by the way. Oh, my God, not even close. Apparently, New Mexico has their own do-not-call legislation. And you're automatically entered on that list if you sign up for the National Do Not Call Registry. I'm going to try to find out some information about the state-specific no-call act, that's what they call it, and give that to you guys. And on the other side, ha, check it out, change in basic residential service rates. Yes! Apparently, what does it say? Included in the airport plans are committed by Qwest. Check this out. Qwest is investing $788 million in New Mexico telecommunications infrastructure over a five-year period. I found that amazing. So, they get to raise rates from $12.25 to $13.50, right? Buck and a quarter. And I wonder, you know, they get to, well, think about it. They get to raise their rates to that, and all those new people that are going to be, you know, hooking on to that $788 million in infrastructure improvement are going to be paying that dollar and a quarter more. So, whew, that's a lot of jack right there. That's a lot of jack. So, they change their rates. If anybody has, you know, anybody has news like that, let me know. You know, you may think, oh, it's just crappy little telco news. No, I dig that kind of stuff, and I think the other freaks do as well. You know, we want to stay abreast on what's going on in the telcos. Just today, I was flipping through channels, and I think it was one of the NFL games, and it was sponsored by SBC. That's right, and there were commercials, and they were there were those weird, sappy Quest-like commercials too. Like, for 100 years, we've been, you know, using punch down tools, and you know, and show guys, you know, the linemen climbing poles, and you know, yeah, telco stuff is dear to my heart, and I think dear to yours as well. I think it's time for phone calls.
Boot.
Yes. By the way, I called the Haitian swap meet this morning, and modem. Yeah, just got the modem. No one has ever picked up. You know, Bland. I think Stank gave us a number. You know, I don't know. Fuck, you know, outside a mortuary or something, it's...
I was on the horn with the big dog last night.
How is Stank Dog?
He is doing great.
I think I used that mortuary line before, though. Anyways, I can't think of anywhere more desolate, though, where a payphone would be. Except in the middle of nowhere.
He felt bad, man.
About what?
He apologized that I don't get to talk to Haitian people.
Oh, really? Well, I was... Well, you might get a surprise soon.
Oh, really? Sweet.
Yeah, so let's leave it at that. Let's call that Cocot in the Texaco / Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. This is a guaranteed score. Stank, okay?
Well, hold on. I was going to say.
What?
Stank gave me another number.
Oh, he did?
He gave me, in a hallway at FAU, there is a phone.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at this phone, and he called it on his cell phone, standing right in front of it, and it rang.
Good.
So he said, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this, that it's not a payphone. It's just a black box on the wall phone. And it could be hooked into the school's, you know, their own PBX, right?
Really?
So you could, in theory... If you called this, say, 1134 Central, you could conceivably get the school's VMB.
Probably. I don't know if we want to give that number out or do it over the air.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so let's say this was all hypothetical. And that those kind of things... See, and there again, you draw the line. Where, you know, what if you were just exploring their voicemail system?
You know, but the thing is, he said they've got students there until about 11 Central. I mean, they do all their night classes, like all the night classroom buildings.
Oh, really?
Are in this hall.
Oh, nice.
So, So, if you do call at any point, he said students, you know, college students, and when I was a college student, definitely, you see a ringing payphone. Man, you haul ass to that thing.
Hell yeah, there's like a party on the other end.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, so, all right, I tell you what, you give me that off air, and we'll call it, we won't record the number, and we'll see what we can get.
All right.
That'd be nice if we could Stank. You know what, we'll get somebody, say, could you call out for Stank Dog, please? Yes, thank you. That'll be awesome. Let's call this Cocot. This, now this, as I was saying, is a sure thing. Because it's in a little convenient, it's like there's a building, right, where that would usually be convenience store size, but it's cut in half, and there's like a jack-in-a-box. Dude, shouts to jack-in-a-box.
They fed the freaks, man.
Hell yeah, dude. We did a lot of hacking. We stayed up and got bloody-eyed thanks to jack-in-a-box. Dude, and there's no jack here. That sucks. So, so this building is chopped in half. There's a jack on one side and a convenience store on the other, and it's just dinky, right? With all this stuffed inside, this Cocot is like right in the cashier's lap. So, this is a sure thing. I mean, we'll just keep ringing it. That'll answer it just to shut it up. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Oh, no! No, I swear I called it when I was there. Son of a gun. Oh, that sucks.
Hey, I've got a number here.
Okay, I've got a bunch of others.
This one, honestly, I know it's not gay porn or anything.
Okay.
But I've got a little T-file on the desktop, and it's called Random Numbers. And anytime I'm surfing and I come across a number I think would make, you know, good radio,
uh-huh,
I put it in there.
Nice.
And this one says, please feel free to call us toll-free at 1-877-547-7272.
Do you know what it is?
No idea.
Okay, let's call it.
Welcome to Papa John's Online. The customer service call center is staffed 7 days a week.
Nice.
7 a.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern Time. After hours, you will be prompted to leave a message in our voicemail system that will be picked up the following day. Your call may be monitored to assure you receive quality service. Please select one of the following two options, or feel free to visit our website at www.papajohns.com to place your comment online. If you would like to leave a voice message for the customer service call center, please press 1. If you would like to speak with a customer service representative, please press 2. Thank you for calling the Papa John's Online Ordering Support Group. The online ordering desk is staffed 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Please leave a message at the sound of the tone, and your call will be returned promptly.
Okay, I thought I could leave... That's what Rax was calling my landline. That's how the caller ID tones were coming in. That was Rax.
Oh.
And then he called the cell phone shortly thereafter. Okay.
Here's what happened.
What?
There's naturally a bazillion pizza joints around here, and there's a Papa John's. And Papa John's is good because, you know, it comes with the peppers and all that boa sauce and everything else.
Yeah, the cup of butter.
Yeah, it's like garlic butter. I have rechristened it to be boa sauce. BOA stands for big ol' ass.
Yeah, straight up.
It's just like a jug full of big ol' ass. So anyway, there was a little blurb on the pizza box about order pizza online at papajohns.com. And so I went and I ordered a pizza online. I was like, well, hell, you know. So I went in, did some stuff, ordered a pizza. 30 minutes later, dude knocked on the door. It was tight.
Nice. Very nice.
And I guess I got that call center number at the bottom. So if you have any questions or comments, give us a call.
Yeah, it sounded like it was, you know, to order, like, cheese for your, you know, your franchise or something. That was weird. I thought that was more like it had to have been customer service. I should have left a message saying their pizza rocks, but whatever. Yeah, that's cool, man. Fire up the Firebird, order a pizza. I've got some numbers here. I know you're going to love. I've got the SBC payphone at the JFK 6th floor museum. Of course, no one will answer that one right now. I've got the number for the ATM machine at the subway where you dropped ass. Actually, right in between the bathrooms, there's that ATM.
Yeah.
I've got the number of that ATM. We won't be giving that out or calling that on the air. And I've got a couple of others. This one I think is going to be pretty tame, but we'll try it out. Hold on a second. This is 866-788-FOOD.
Thank you for calling CRO Catering. We are either on the other line, assisting another customer, or have stepped out of the office.
Boring. I was wondering, I mean, what the hell could be, you know, 866-788-FOOD, but it's catering, apparently. That sucked. This one should be much more fun. And no offense to anyone, please. Please do not take offense. This number is 877-33-BIBLE. That's right. All right, hold on. Bland?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this offensive to you?
No, not yet.
I'm not. Why do you say it like that?
Oh, you're probably going to order racks of Bible.
Yeah, so? All right, hold on. B-I-B-L-E.
Thank you for calling Dead Sea Scrolls to the Forbidden Book. Our business hours are 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to leave a voicemail message, press 8. For recorded information about the exhibit, press 3. The Dead Sea Scrolls to the Forbidden Book exhibit tells the story of the English Bible using multimedia, ancient manuscripts, and rare Bibles from the oldest forms of writing to the first Bibles printed in America. On display at the Biblical Arts Center in Dallas, Texas, the exhibit opens September 5, 2003, and runs through November 16, 2003. Exhibit hours are generally 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday. Tickets purchased before August 20th.
Okay, enough of that.
Let me go check that out.
Multimedia and manuscripts.
Hey, no.
Sorry. That was funny. What emphasis. All right, let's try one more Cocod. Hold on a second. I don't know where I got this one. Ooh! That's a good sign.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good sign.
All right, let's, we'll try that another show. Hopefully that one's frequented.
Ring up, I meant to say this to all the listeners. PWF is still alive and kicking. Man, go out and scrape up those Walmart payphone numbers and all that info. And if you could, when you send in the info, I want to index PWF by, like, where the payphones are at. Not necessarily within the store, but if it's, like, a little neighborhood store or if it's a 24-hour deal, just make that distinction.
Oh, really? You want that info?
Yeah, because, you know, I'd like to run through, if we could run through, like, one or two a show, but we'd pretty much have to hit the 24-hour ones. Like, we don't want to call up, you know, the hometown store in Bumsville, Idaho, you know.
Right.
And have, like, the bum sleeping on the bench reach up and, you know, and bitch us out for waking him up.
Yeah, maybe we should get, like, some type of coding system for all the payphone numbers to say, yeah, this is a good one. Or first, you know, good number, 24-hour store, you know, or 24-hour store, not a good number because, you know, it's in the, you know, there. I have been to some Walmarts, right, where the payphones are literally hidden. Right? There's like these little wings right as you go in the front door that nobody goes down, you know, and there's like various vending machines, things like that. There's these little dark wings, and then like way hidden, stuffed in the back behind a machine, there's a payphone you would never, ever find. It's unbelievable. Yeah, you have to do like some UE to find these payphones. So yeah, maybe we should get a little system, you know, that says, yeah, this payphone's a, you know, a 10-star, you know, a 5 or something, you know, it's the 24-hour, somebody will always answer, or, you know, this one, like you said, is at a hometown center that's closed, and nobody will ever answer anyway. So that's a great idea. So yeah, please, actually, I just received some more information, I think from DJ Mollusk. I received some more juicy, there's actually another type of store, Bland.
Really?
Yes, yes. So check out PWF. I'll be updating that soon with that other type of store. Very cool info. And DJ Mollusk is actually, I don't know when. I think he told me, but I can't recall. He's going to be going to store number one in Arkansas. I want some pics of that. Oh, and stay tuned. I've got tons of pics that have yet to go up. Tons and tons. Well, maybe not tons and tons, but a lot of PWF pictures that will be going up. I don't know how long we've been recording, by the way. Do you?
No idea.
Okay, good. All right, thank you, everybody. No, seriously, I think that's the end of the show. I've got some other numbers, but I don't... actually, local numbers. I don't think I want to be calling on the show. Oh, you know what? I'm calling this. I got this today. As you heard earlier, thank you, Rex. I got a new cell phone, AT&T, and I grabbed this number.
Thank you for calling AT&T Wireless. To activate new or additional service, press 1. To purchase wireless equipment, press 2. If you are an existing AT&T Wireless customer and received your replacement equipment in the mail and need additional assistance, press 3. For technical assistance or to reach customer care, press 4. If you are an existing AT&T Wireless customer and purchased your replacement equipment at an AT&T Wireless store and are ready to activate service on your new phone, press 5.
Okay, that number could be a lot of fun. So that number, AT&T GSM Activations, 866-626-9620. Actually, I think that's just their general customer service number. I don't know why it says... I wrote down what they had written down at the store. I think that's their standard customer service number. But that could be a lot of fun. Enjoy it. This has been RFA 83. Ah, what a show. You know, I never ever would have guessed UE would have dominated so. I'm glad it did. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it was a good show.
It was a very good show. Thanks to Rax, and thank you again, Bland. Actually, you played a big part in getting Zapper, you know, working things out with Zapper and getting that show done last week. So I got to thank you again for that. And a huge props to Zapper. Hopefully we can get him on the show soon as well. So, please, I say, keep exploring. For the pure fact that it's fun.